Well, obviously, you guys need to pray for me on our trip home. It's going to be quite interesting. But also, let's pray now that as we go into God's Word. Father, we love you so much. And now, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and teach us. Open your Word to us so that we might understand it. Speak to us. Help us to grasp what your Word is saying. Give us faith so that we might receive it. Give us knowledge so that we might repeat it and pass it along. For we know, Lord, that you are coming back. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the church being the bride of Christ, and we also compared the ancient Jewish wedding with the process that God has done for us. And we said there are six steps to the wedding process, the ancient Jewish wedding process. And the first step was the proposal. And Jesus gave his life for us, and he's asking us, do you love me? Do you believe me? As part of looking at this process that the ancient Jewish man and woman would go through, you can compare it once again to what God is going through in making his wedding proposal to us. And he's saying, do you love me? Do you believe in me? The second step of that process is the answer. Yes, no. And God is hoping, obviously, for a yes answer. Then the third is the public expression of love. The groom and bride would do something publicly for all to understand that they had committed themselves to one another. From our wedding with Christ, it is baptism. We come forward, we say, Lord, we love you. We dedicate our life to you. You are my Lord and my Master. And we're baptized as a public form of saying that we love you and that we're saying yes. And then the fourth step is a gift is giving, stating that the groom will come back for the bride. And for us, this is the Holy Spirit. Then the groom goes away to prepare their home. We said that in ancient Jewish times, many times it could be more than a year that the groom would be gone preparing a home for his bride. But then he would come back and get her, and then they would finish up the wedding procession and the wedding process. For us, this is Jesus' ascension. He has ascended into heaven, and now the church is waiting for the return of the groom, Jesus the Christ. So that's the process that the wedding proposal is going through. And where we are in that process at this point in time is that we are waiting for Jesus to return again. Jesus said in John 14, I've got to go. I've got to go because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again. So the church right now is in the process of waiting for Jesus to return. So what will take place when Christ returns? And what things are going to happen between now and the time that he does return? Well, we're going to look at that this morning. One of the things that we don't want to get mixed up with is a thing called the rapture. You won't find that in the Bible, the word rapture, but you will find a taking away of the church, if you will. But the next thing in our process that we will see is that the church is waiting for the rapture. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 18. For we believe that
Jesus
died for us, and some believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we are still, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the
Lord himself
will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the
dead in Christ.
After that, we who
are still alive,
our left will be, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. What was going on at this time, and why Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, or Thessalonica, is because Christians were dying. And the people didn't understand what was going on. They were expecting the Lord Jesus to come back soon, immediately. So as Christians were beginning to die, the question was coming up to them, what in the world's going on? We don't understand. The Lord said he's coming back. He hasn't come back. And we've got people dying. So what Paul does is he writes to the church and he tells the church, hey, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. There are going to be people who are going to die before Christ comes back. And when he comes, those who have died, their body will be resurrected. It will be given a new glorified body matched up with their soul that is in heaven. That will happen first. And then the church that is still alive, I'm going to throw my watch off and hit somebody, so hold on just a second. I'm allowed to get wound up this morning. But the church who is still alive will be lifted up and they will meet the Lord in the air. That is the rapture of the church. Now, Jesus tells a story about the rapture. He says that there is a wedding ceremony, and during this wedding ceremony, there are 10 bridesmaids. And he says 5 of them are wise, and 5 of them are foolish. Now, you have to remember the ceremony? The groom has now gone away to prepare a home for the bride. She doesn't know when he's coming back to get her, so she stays ready. The bridesmaids need to stay ready. So they're waiting for the groom to come back, and these bridesmaids, there's 10 of them, 5 wise and 5 of them were foolish. The 5 wise ones put oil in their lamp in case he came at night. The 5 foolish ones didn't. Guess when the groom came back? Anybody want to take a guess? Is a night. And the 5 foolish ones who did not have oil in their lamp were not able to be a part of the wedding ceremony. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means to me, if you look at oil in the Bible, the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So you had 5 bridesmaids who were filled with the Holy Spirit. You had 5 bridesmaids who did not have the Holy Spirit. What is the church? The church are those people who have God's Spirit living in them, that have changed them into a new creation, that has given them a new character of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and meekness, and faith. That is the real church. And so these bridesmaids who had the oil were those bridesmaids who are the real church. They were able to participate in the wedding ceremony. Those who didn't have the oil didn't participate because they didn't have God's Spirit within them. So the next event that is going to happen is the rapture. We are in a stage or an age today that's called the church age. The church is waiting for the return of Christ. The church is waiting for the rapture to occur first. The dead in Christ will rise first, then those who are alive will rise with him, and then we will be with the Lord forever. So if you look at what's going on, you've got the rapture. Hello? You have the rapture is what we're waiting for next. And then during that time, at the same time that the wedding feast is going on in heaven, we've been lifted up with Christ. We're now in heaven. We're going to have a great feast with the Lord. And then during that time that we're having the feast, a 7-year tribulation is happening here on earth at the same time that the wedding feast of the Lamb is taking place in heaven. Everybody got that? Clear as mud? If you got that, say amen. If you don't have that, say help me. Help me? Okay. So the rapture takes first. The church is gone. Those dead in Christ arise. And then right after that, the 7-year tribulation starts here on earth, and in heaven, there is a 7-year wedding ceremony. It said that during that feast, if you remember, gifts are given. At the wedding feast, gifts will be given to us by Jesus. We'll also at that time be given, remember the robe, remember the story about the wedding, and everybody was supposed to have the same robe on, one didn't. He was escorted out, everybody else had on the same robe at the wedding feast. Well, we will be giving our white robes during that time, and during the wedding feast. And also during that time, we will be given crowns. And the way that Scripture makes it sound is that, let's take Mike's life. Mike's whole body of work, his life, will be taken and thrown in a fire. Those things that I've done for me will be burned up. Those things that I've done for God and for others will remain. It will be like gold tried in the fire. Those things that remain, I will receive rewards for. And so will you. The idea is here is that 7 years, it's going to take 7 years for the rewards to be given out to all the saints from all the years, for all the love that they've had for God and for others. And these are the crowns that we will receive. The imperishable crown, a crown of rejoicing, a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory, a crown of life, and a crown of exaltation. Depending on what your life has done, you will receive one of those crowns. For sure, you'll get one crown. That's the imperishable crown. That's the one that says you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've been washed in the blood, and you will spend eternity now with Jesus Christ. You will receive that imperishable crown. Once again, scholars believe it'll take 7 years for all those crowns to be handed out. Now, during the wedding feast that's going on in heaven, you got stuff that's going on here on earth that, thank goodness, the rapture has occurred, because I said it's going to get worse and worse as people pull away from God, and earth gets really, really bad. If you remember last week, we talked about there were three evils, if you will, that come on the scene. There was a dragon. And who's the dragon? Anybody remember? Who? Satan. There was a beast that had 10 horns. And remember who that is? He's the world leader, or he's the world leader, or the Antichrist. And then there's a second beast that only had 2 horns, looked like a lamb, but it talked like a dragon. Remember what that was? That's the false prophet. That's that religious leader. So during the 7 years of tribulation on earth, after the rapture has occurred, during the 7 years, the first 3.5 years are pretty good. Not too bad. But then something happens. Look at Revelation 13, verse 5. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise its authority for how long? 42 months. How long is that?
3.5 years.
And then, as we said last week, all heck breaks loose. Look at verse 7. And it was given power to wage war, and it, by the way, is the beast, is given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given them authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. So basically what happens, if you look at in the book of Revelation, you will find that there is a number of 144,000. Ever seen that number before in the book of Revelation? Okay. And that 144,000, most scholars believe that they are Jews, that they have heard this heresy of preaching, and that the Antichrist wants to have worship. They recognize what's going on. They now recognize that Jesus truly is the Messiah. They begin preaching, the 144,000. They're on fire. They're evangelical. They're telling the world what's going on. Some of the world, and the scripture says it's a multitude that you can't even count. It is so great that they believe that they're beginning to turn away from the beast, and they're going toward the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And then the beast says, it's time to stop, and he wages war on the people of God who are saved during that time of the tribulation. The these Jews who grasp it, and they see what Satan is doing, and they won't worship the beast, and they begin to preach, and they begin to open people's eyes to what is happening, and people will be saved during this 7-year tribulation. And then Satan makes war against God's people. Let us pray. I'm kidding. There's more coming. It gets better. That's scary, isn't it? That's scary. That's scary, y'all. I don't want to be here for all that. Also, if you go back and read, it talks about all kinds of judgments that are being passed down on earth. And it's scary when you read some of the stuff that's going to happen. It's. I don't know whether it's atomic war or whether it's natural catastrophes. Don't know what's happening. But I do know if you read it, it's not good. I don't want to be here for that. Folks, as Christians, you need to know this stuff. You need to know Jesus so with it, you won't go through it either. And then God says, after Satan declares war on the people of God, God says, enough! I'm done! And then this is what happens. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the... The armies of heaven are following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen. What are they? Who is that? That's us. We've been to the wedding. We got the robes on to prove it. White, clean, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, married to him, part of the army of God. And coming out of his mouth a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written. What is it? This is the second coming of Christ. When Satan declares war on the holy people of God and the tribulation period, God says, that's enough. I'm done. I'm through with you. And he returns. That is the second coming of Christ. He is coming again. So the beast makes ready for war. And by the way, here's where we are, right? The rapture has occurred. The church is not there. Those who are dead in Christ rise with him. We're with the Lord. We've gone through the wedding feast of the Lamb. We've got the white robes on. We've been given our crowns. And while that's going on in heaven, you've got what's going on in the tribulation. And then at the end of that tribulation period, the second coming of Christ occurs. That's where we are in this process. Okay. And this is what happens. Look at verses 19 through 21. Then I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. Can you imagine trying to fight against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is he stupid or what? But the what? Who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were what? And the rest were killed with the sword coming out of
the mouth riding on the horse.
So what you have here, remember the unholy trinity, there was three of them, right? The dragon, the antichrist, and the religious leader. Two of them have been dealt with. Isn't that what that says here? They've been taken hold of, they've been dealt with. But there's one missing. Who is it? Who? Satan hadn't been dealt with yet. Well, let's see what happens to him. Look at Revelation 21 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the keys to the abyss and holding it in his hand, a great chain. You know what I love about this? An angel comes down and takes hold of the dragon. Not God, not Jesus, but someone that's lesser than God takes hold of one who wants to be greater than God and puts a chain on him saying, look, buddy, you're done, you're through, you're over with. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who was the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So, here's what we've got now. You've got the rapture. You've got the wedding feast and the tribulation period going on. You've now got the second coming of Christ. We've now gone through the battle of Armageddon, where Christ returns. Satan, the beast, and the false prophet are now chained and thrown in hell. And at the end of that period, Christ will reign here on earth for 1,000 years. He will reign with those who gave their life during the tribulation period and did not worship the beast, and also he will reign with us. So do you see the process? Okay. If you got that, say amen. If you don't have that, say, help me, Lord. Okay, here we go. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan is released. I don't know why. That's just what Scripture says. And then there is another skirmish. Satan is done away for forever. And then there's a great white throne judgment for non-believers. And then Jesus says, I will make all things new. And he makes new a heaven and a new earth. Okay? So, do you get this? The rapture, wedding feast and the tribulation, the second coming of Christ, the great battle, Satan and the beast and the false prophet are taken care of. Christ reigns for 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan is let go. There's another skirmish. Then he is dealt with forever. Then there's a great white throne of judgment where God will judge those who are not washed in the blood of the Lamb. And my guess is that when those who do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stand before God, he's probably going to ask them, what did you do with my son? And from there, he will judge them based on their life's work. We are judged as an Olympian. We receive rewards for what we've done. All those bad stuff that we did, that's washed in the blood. Jesus didn't even see that. Only thing he sees is the things that we've done for God and the things that we've done for others. This judgment that we're talking about right before the new heaven and the new earth is for non-believers. Then after that judgment, Jesus says, this is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. Jesus says, I'm going to make all things new. I love that. I'm going to make all things new. He's already made me new. He's already made you new through the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Now, our Holy Spirit, we got to be someplace that's sin-free. By the way, can you imagine a world with no evil? Can you imagine a world with no temptation? Can you imagine a world with no evil one? Jesus, I'm going to make all things new, man. I'm taking the devil. He's going to be put away. He's not going to have anything to say in it. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and that's where you and I are going to dwell through eternity. I want to read Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5 in closing. I've got a note on my Bible that says, verse 21, 1 through 5, is what life is like when God dwells among his people. This is John speaking, and he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. God cannot lie. You see, it's important for us to understand what's going on. The world is deteriorating. The world is falling away from God. And as the further away it gets from God, the worse things are going to get, until finally God takes his church from this world so we won't have to go through the end times, those 7 years of tribulation. And I have to tell you, this saved me. I went to an all-girls Bible study, and this is what was being taught. And the lady asked the question during that Bible study, if you were to die tonight and were to stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And I got to think, oh my goodness, I'm doing things then no 16-year-old kid ought to be doing. I don't have a relationship. I don't know what I'd tell him. There's only one answer. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in the resurrection. I've got your Holy Spirit living in me, and I love you. That's the answer. That during that great white throne of judgment for non-believers, the question is going to be asked, I believe, what did you do with my son? After this sermon, or this Bible study that I went to, for 3 months, oh my goodness, I rebelled, something terrible, I ran from God. And then one night, I'm fast asleep, and I have a dream that Christ is coming again. I heard the trumpet blow. I heard Gabriel shout, just like I'm standing here right now. I jumped clean up in the bed, scared to death, because I thought, I'm not ready. And then I realized it was a dream, and I also realized it was God calling me, and I got down on my knees in the middle of the night, and I said, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe, and I've never been the same since. We may be small in number, but I want us to be mighty in knowledge. And I'm telling you, people need to understand what's going to take place. It changes lives. Christ is coming again. Satan is going to have his way for a while. I think I like it best when God said that Satan would bruise Jesus' heel, but Jesus is going to stomp his head. That's going to happen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much. And love you, golly, we love you, love you, love you. We're thankful, Lord, that you have given us a glimpse of what the end times are going to be like. We don't completely understand everything. It's very hazy. It's like looking through a mirror that's got frost on it. But, Lord, we do know that you're coming again. We do know that there are end times. We do know that this world is going to fall away from you. And we do know that you are going to make all things new when you return. Let us take hold of that. Let us grasp it. Let us believe in it. And may it change us to be mighty warriors for you. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then some may say, wow, that's pretty far out there. But think about this. The one who created the world, created how the planets are in orbit with one another in complete control. The one who was born of a virgin birth. The one who stepped down from his throne and poured his spirit into a man named Jesus. The one who shed his blood, died. The one who resurrected from the dead And disciples touched him and hugged him and kissed him and had dinner with him. The one who lives today, is it so hard to believe that one who has done all that can do all this? He can. Jesus is coming again. You can write it down because it's in.